How much you check the newspapers and the things for to catch the news. But I look through it every once in a while. And you know what I saw in there yesterday? I saw in there yesterday that some guy up on East 80 with meth in his pockets after hours was breaking into a vehicle at one of the used car lots, and he got caught by the police. I saw in there where somebody was arrested and charged with sexual abuse over in Campbellsville. There was another incident in there down next to Tompkinsville where two 30-something-year-old men, one of them shot and killed the other one, and then they arrested him down in Cookeville, Tennessee. And there was another incident where a 17-year-old boy was driving 100-and-some miles an hour trying to get away from a police officer that was in pursuit of him. And the police officer couldn't catch him. He quit trying to catch him, but he got his license plate number, description of the vehicle, got all the information, went to his house, found the truck sitting down in the field behind the house, arrested the boy, took him to jail. He pleaded guilty, and there was two other people in the car with him. Why am I saying all that? That was just on the first page of the Columbia Magazine. That wasn't in the Courier Journal or the Lexington Herald or the Washington Post or the Los Angeles Times. That was on the first page of our local internet newspaper magazine. My question to you is this. I'm not talking about any of those people as necessarily an individual. They might be some of them related to you. I don't know. Or you may know their families. But anyway, my question is this. What were they thinking? You know why people do the things they do? They do the things they do because they think the way they think. It's no great mystery. You know, and I don't care who believes it. I don't care who agrees with me or who disagrees with me. There are people and their speech. Their speech tells me from listening to them, from reading about what they say, and all of these things tells me that they want to get rid of all the bad things that are happening to people because of other people in the world. And so they pass laws against bullying. They pass laws against being politically incorrect. They do all of these things to help people, and the truth of the matter is, nothing ever seems to change. They've spent thousands and thousands and millions of dollars trying to police mankind and to protect man from himself. They're even making laws about how big a cup of Coke you can get, protecting you against yourself. Making McDonald's put all the calorie contents of all of their food where you can see it so they can protect you from yourself. All of those things. I have a solution. If every man, woman, and child decided to live by the principles of this book, and I mean the principles, not some man-concocted idea about what the principles are. To live by the principles of this book that Jesus demonstrated, 90% of the world's problems would disappear overnight. But nobody wants to accept that. They don't even want you to post the Ten Commandments because you might give somebody the wrong idea. Now, how could reading the Ten Commandments give anybody the wrong idea? But what it comes back to is, we want everything to go right, but we want it done our way, and we want God to stay out of it. Now, pardon my Kentucky English, but that just ain't gonna happen. Yeah. Absolutely.
It started out that way, and they talked in the Bible in grade school and all of it. But everybody fights for, well, you need an education. Well, the reason that we have the attitude today is because it was started on that foundation.
That's right.
But 200 something years ago,
God started our centers of higher learning. They came through the church to begin with. Church was the only one thought it was necessary to learn anything. But in your bulletin this morning, I call your attention to the scripture, 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God. We know that we are of God. We don't think it. We don't just believe it. We know it. That's what John said. And the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Why people do many crazy things, why people live like they do, is because of the way they've been taught to think. You know, we accuse people of not thinking. Well, we really can't accuse them of not thinking. When you say to somebody they just didn't think, what you mean is they didn't think about it the way you would. They were thinking about it, but not the way you would. Everybody thinks. It doesn't show as much on some people. But everybody thinks. And what we've got to understand is that there's only two sources of information to think about. One of them is God. The other one is the world. And you are going to think one way or the other. Now, if we know that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, what can we just then assume? We can assume that the world thinks like the wicked one. Why do people sit around and think of how they can hurt somebody else? Why do they sit around thinking about how they can steal something that belongs to somebody else? How can they sit around thinking about how they can take the life of somebody that they don't like? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So is he. You want to know how men are thinking? Read the papers. Listen to the news. Some of them are just not on the right channel. Why in the world does somebody think that blowing your brains out your ears with meth is the way to live? Somebody convinced them through a thought that they needed to try it. Oh, you'll love it. Why do people think that they can drink and get in a car and drive down the highway, never be concerned about having a wreck and killing or hurting somebody really bad because they're thinking that won't happen to me because even though I'm drunk, I'm not out of control. That's the world's way of thinking. Because the world's way of thinking is under the sway of the wicked one. And I just looked over here and saw Ricardo. And I know that he can vouch for what I'm saying, and maybe there's others that could too. But when you're in prison and you can't go anywhere and you can't do anything, one of the things that becomes attractive to you is what we call jailhouse religion. And while you're there, unable to do anything else, you genuinely get concerned and excited about the things of God. Because you can experience His love and all of the things that go along with the anointing and the presence of people. And I'm not saying that everybody, Ricardo's an example of somebody that did not get jailhouse religion, they got saved. And there are other examples of it. But so many times, and we went to jail ministry for years and years, and people, well, as soon as we get out, we're going to come to your church. And then they get out, and we never see them. And then somebody say, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, what? Well, they got caught back into this or back into that. They're going back in. Why? Because when they got out, they didn't hang around people that were thinking like God. They started hanging around people that think like the world. And I may sound bigoted or narrow-minded, but to tell you the truth, when it comes to that, I am. Because I know that if people thought like Jesus Christ, the world would immediately change. Maybe no question. And you wouldn't even need 90% of the laws that we have to try to live by. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 6, well, let me read you verse 5 because that tells you why we're reading these other verses. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, 1 Corinthians 2, begin with verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. To put it in words that you understand, they're on a long black train heading to the middle of nowhere. And they do not realize it because the train is polished and painted with lots of bells and whistles. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. And I like this next verse, I always have. Which none of the rulers of this age knew. You know what it says? The rulers of this age, the one that has the world under his sway, is totally ignorant of God's true plan. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If the devil had known what the outcome of what he was doing would have been, he'd have said, leave that man alone or we are undone. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. I don't know how many times during my life that I have heard that scripture read at funeral.
Yeah, like it said.
And then they go on to say, well, you know, our eyes and ears and heart, you know, we just can't imagine what God has prepared for us, and we won't even know about it until we see it when we die, and there it'll be, and we'll be awed by it. Now read this in context. Eyes seen, ears not heard, neither seen to the heart of man. Why? Because they're operating under the wisdom of this world. They can't see it. Why does a true, born-again child of God get such a negative view of the world? Because we don't see what God sees, we see what man sees. We don't see the miracles of God, we see the destruction and the inhumanity of man. How many of you saw the article on, it was in a newspaper up in Ohio. It was on one of the news channels about the man up in Ohio, 37 years old, that died with a heart attack. He was 37 years old. He was in bed asleep. His wife woke up. He was not breathing right. And she started examining him. And she realized something was wrong. And she called 911. And when they got there, he had coded. And so the two of them did CPR on him. And finally, they got him to the hospital. They could not detect a heartbeat. No indication of life. The doctor worked on him with the paddles and the IVs and everything for 45 minutes. Got nothing. Finally told his assistants, well, we've done all we can do. We've got as far as we can. Now, in the meantime, this wife had called the people at her church. And they were praying. And he had a son. I guess the way they talked, I don't know if they said the exact age or not, but I assume somewhere around 12 maybe. As they were finishing up with all they could do to try to revive him, now this man hasn't had a heartbeat in 45 minutes. You know what happens to your brain when the blood doesn't circulate through it for 45 minutes? the mother, or his wife, and the little boy walked in the room where his dad lay, and he walked up to his dad and said to him, "You're not dying today." And of course, you know what kind of reaction that got from the medical people. Bless his heart. Well, they were fixing to close things down. One of the nurses happened to look at one of the monitors, and she said, "Wait a minute. We got a heartbeat." It's not very close. I think it was like 3 beats a minute. But it was blipping the screen. And then the doctor said, "Well, let's don't give up then." So they're thinking, "Oh man, maybe there's a chance to keep him alive. But he's been without oxygen in his brain for 45 minutes. He'll be a vegetable." To jump to the end of the story, the man's supposed to go back to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
Totally, absolutely normal. Woke up totally, absolutely normal. Did not remember a thing from the time he went to bed the night before until he woke up then. Knew none of that was happening. And the doctor said, "This is medically impossible. There is no medical explanation of how this could happen. The only thing that I can say about it is it truly is a miracle." Now, what would have happened if that little boy hadn't walked up to his daddy and said, "You're not dying today"? With God, all things are possible. It's not just something that's way off in the distant when we get to heaven. What a day that'll be. Tomorrow can be what a day that'll be. With faith in God. Okay, so our eyes, our ears, and all this stuff, we don't see it. Look at verse 10. How many times are there verses in Scripture that say, "But God"? We don't see them with our eyes, don't hear them with our ears, we don't feel them in our heart. But God doesn't say, "Will, when we get to heaven, reveal them to us." Says, "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit." That's why it's so important to have the Spirit of God alive and active inside you. I appreciated what Laverne said this morning. She got 3 operate inside of her. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. How are you going to know the deep things of God? They're going to be revealed to you by His Spirit. See, with your head, you can learn this book. With your head, you can know the Greek. With your head, you can know the Hebrew. But only with your heart can you know the author. Only by His Spirit revealing Him to you can you really know who He is and what He's like and His agenda. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him. Nobody knows you better than you know yourself. Whether you like yourself or whether you don't like yourself, you know all of the little secret things about yourself more than anybody else. Now, you live with somebody long enough, they get to know you pretty well. But even they don't get to know all there is to know about you. Only you know all there is to know about you. Only God knows what there is to know about Him. But thanks be to God, He has given us His Spirit to reveal to us all the things that we care about and want to know about Him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world would probably make you jump up and down and shout hooray to get to go see Montgomery Gentry. You know, wonder what Jesus was thinking when He would go to the sinners' houses and have dinner with them. You reckon He was thinking, man, I don't know what's going to be going on there. Maybe I shouldn't go. Did He go to participate with them in what they were doing? No. He went to demonstrate the power of God in front of them. Now, you can be where the world is and demonstrate the power of God in front of them, no matter where they are or what they're doing. But you can't if you go there and act just like them. If Scott had acted just like this guy believed that all Christians acted, he wouldn't have made an impression on him. What do we got to do? We've got to follow the Spirit of God in our thinking. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. That's the Holy Spirit. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. What things? The things that have been freely given already. Not waiting for a pie in the sky. They've already been available, made available to us. But we can't know what they are without the prompting of the Spirit. I want to give you a little testimony real quickly about what happened to me when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'd been a Christian for years. I'd been in church all my life. I'd been to seminary. I had studied the Word of God. I knew all the stories. I knew Noah and Moses and Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and Peter and John and Philip, Elijah. I knew the stories. I knew the contents of the Bible. I was preaching pretty good sermons. And yet, I did not realize that there was so much of the Bible that I had never seen. I had read it, but I hadn't seen it. And I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And something in me came alive. And it was just like, as far as the Bible was concerned, the information that somebody turned the light on. I use this to illustrate it. It's like being in a house that was furnished, had everything in there that you needed, but there was no light. And if you were in the right place at the right time, you'd bump into something. And when you bumped into it, you'd know there was something there. And maybe you'd feel around and, well, that feels like a chair, but I don't know what it looks like. And it was just like it was all kinds of stuff. And then when the light came on, when the light came on, I could see what it was, and I could see how it needed to be arranged. And our pastor, Mike Heron, one time, he said to me, he said, "You haven't been in this but just a few months." And he said, "I've been in this for years." And he said, "You know as much as I know." He said, "How did you learn it all so quick?" And I said, "I didn't learn it that quick. I learned a lot of this a long time ago. But on a lot of it, I've been in the dark." And once the light came on, it was easy to see what to do with the stuff that was there. You could see which one was the chair, and you could sit in the chair rather than sitting on the edge of the table. You could eat off the table instead of eating off the end table. You could see the nightstand and know that it wasn't a computer desk, because now you could see it. And that's the only thing I can explain it. If you've not ever received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where you just believe that God fills you with the Spirit, that He pours out His Spirit upon you, that you receive it, that one of the evidences of it is that now you can speak in tongues and praise God, you need to try it. You'll like it. I found out one thing. The Holy Spirit will baptize anybody that wants Him to, but He very seldom, if ever, forces Himself on anybody. But He'll make a big difference in your life. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. See, now all of this related to your thinking. You're going to think what you learn. If you learn evolution, you're going to think it.
That's right.
And anything different is going to sound strange. But I've heard both sides. And if you think creationism is strange, you need to really think about evolution. At least the Bible tells you that the things which are seen are made out of things which are invisible. Science hasn't figured that out yet, but it's the only conclusion that they can come to. It all started from the Big Bang. Where did the Big Bang start? Where was this stuff before the bang? It was in the mind of God. When He spoke it, it banged right out of His mouth. And God said. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. an unregenerated heart, even a religious unregenerated heart, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, by faith, we understand that the worlds were formed by the Word of God. By faith, not proof. Science cannot prove some of the things that they believe because they can't duplicate the experiment that caused them. And nobody was around at the time keeping records. But there are some real problems with the way things are and the way evolutionists say they are. Now, I'm not saying that everything the evolutionists say is totally wrong. But when you leave God out of a picture, how much likelihood do you have in having it all right? Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, it says to us in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to explain what he means. And what he means, and you ought to read the rest of that, right after that. Goes along with some of the things that different ones were sharing this morning. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. What was it? That his total ambition was to know and to do the will of the Father. When you have to choose between what the world's thinking and what Jesus is thinking, the decision is yours. You can think like the world if you want to. But if you do, you will go like the world. Or you can think like the Spirit of God prompts you to think. And it will keep you on the right track. And you won't be on a train bound for nowhere. This world is passing away, and the leaders and the rulers thereof. Everybody that seems to have wisdom based on this world system is headed downhill. Now, that's either got to be true or there's no reason for us to even believe in God. But I tell you what, I've had enough experiences with God that I'm not about to stop believing. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Let's bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute. I'm going to say this. First of all, is there anybody in here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And you know you don't. But you'd like to. Why don't you raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Okay, now I'm going on to my next question. Is there anybody in here this morning that's never been filled with the Spirit of God, never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you'd like to do that? If you're in here and you'd like to do that, I'm not going to ask you just to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to come up front. And I'm going to wait about 30 seconds. And if you and God got to do any business to get you up here, get it done in that first 30 seconds. I thank you, Lord God. We praise you, Father. You, Lord, have made it so easy for us if we just open our eyes. Heavenly Father, to stand in your presence is awesome. To be used by your Spirit is awesome. To communicate with you is really awesome. To know that you love us as much as you do is beyond awesome. And to know that you're going to take care of us in everything that we commit to you is wonderful. Your blessings, Lord God, are indescribable, incomprehensible, stupendous, and marvelous. And that's just English words, Lord. Oh, sholoto kababa sata kie. De la 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 mama mo soto. Ye sheyabaka. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for blessing your people, for filling us with your presence, for walking with us, guiding us every day, pouring out your blessings upon us. And I pray, Lord God, your people will continue to allow that to happen in all things and in all ways. Bless them, Lord. Answer every prayer. Meet every need. Soothe every heart. And give peace to every spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Men, remember our men's meeting, September the 14th. We need for you to sign up. It will be a blessing.